name is Spencer Yu, and you are listening to the Article 1 podcast. Article 1 is a magazine dedicated to documenting and examining human rights issues Canadians and people around the world face today. It's published by Mount Royal University journalism students in Calgary. The series is produced as a part of the Community Podcast Initiative and is powered by Shaw. The name of the magazine comes from Article 1 of the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which states that all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. They are endowed with reason and conscience and should act towards one another in a spirit of brotherhood. Our magazine and this podcast seek to examine human rights from all angles, anything from climate change to racism in international soccer to the resilience of indigenous languages. On this episode of the Article 1 podcast, I'll be looking at scarcity of technology and how it has affected people during the COVID pandemic. This podcast was produced at Mount Royal University, which sits on Treaty 7 territories, a region with a long tradition of storytelling, rich culture, and history. At Article 1, we respect and admire those stories and are committed to collaborating with First Peoples in our work. We acknowledge the hereditary keepers of these lands, the Nitsa'api, Blackfoot, Iyahe Nakoda, the Stoney Nakoda, the Sutina, and Métis people. Article 1 seeks to decolonize storytelling by including Indigenous ways of knowing and voices. We are all treaty people. Technology is one of those things that we have taken for granted in the modern world as it has become so integrated with our daily lives. The thing that we have not considered, however, is what it would be like if we had to rely on technology 100%. This is what happened when the COVID-19 pandemic forced Canadians to work and do school from home. For many Canadians, this was not an issue as they already had access to computers and high-speed internet. However, for some Canadians, this was a major problem as they could not get access to this technology. When social distancing mandates came into effect, many impoverished Canadians were unable to operate in this new digitized landscape. To get a better understanding of this issue, I talked to Kathy Coutts of the Making Changes Foundation to see how donated technology is being used to further develop the working skills of immigrant women in Canada. I also spoke with Linda McLean of the Brenda Strafford Foundation to understand how this technology shortage has affected Canadians currently taking shelter from domestic violence. And finally, I spoke with Sally Tran of the Electronic Recycling Association to get a better understanding of how technology is circulated and recycled, and what is being done to get computers into the hands of Canadians who need it the most.
So I guess the first question I wanted to ask you was, what's kind of the mission, the general mission statement of Making Changes?
So at Making Changes, we have been helping women for over 25 years be empowered to make meaningful contributions to the community by providing resources and skill development in support of their pursuit of meaningful work.
Okay. So how did this kind of partnership between the Electronic Recycling Association and Making Changes kind of come together?
Yeah, so back in 2017, Making Changes introduced a Women in Technology training program where we provide women with education around the soft skills and technical skills for full web development. And in order to do that class, each woman needed to have a computer. And so when we first introduced the program, it was done in class, and ERA was very generous in helping us obtain computers for the students to use during the class.
What have you kind of been able to achieve in terms of providing women with kind of technological skills and employment through this program?
So over the last 5 years since we've introduced the program, approximately 65% of the women have obtained employment within 90 to 180 days of completing the course.
Okay. I'm wondering, you know, through the COVID pandemic, has this been affected at all, this kind of program that you've set up?
If anything, it has increased the need and demand for it. We've pivoted the program to be done online, virtually from their homes. And what that did is remove some of the barriers that women previously experienced as far as childcare, as far as being able to be home when the children got home from school, etc. So it removed that barrier. It also removed transportation barriers. And as the impact of the pandemic has also increased the future skills and needs of women and men, or of the technology industry, the development of the technology industry in Calgary.
Okay. I'm actually a little bit curious. I know since it's you weren't able to kind of teach this in class anymore, it's gone online. I was wondering if there was a there may have been a scenario where someone wasn't able to attend the class due to them not having a computer or something of that sort.
No, that's where we had it. When it was in person, we had ERA supported us in providing computers where necessary. And even virtually, when we're delivering virtually, if there was a candidate that was accepted into the program and did not have access to a laptop, etc., we were able to provide one for them.
That was Kathy Coots from the Making Changes Foundation. And next up, we have Linda McLean from the Brenda Strafford Society. So I guess the first question I want to ask you is kind of like, can you give me a brief mission statement for like the Brenda Strafford Society and like kind of what you guys stand for?
Certainly. So we serve women and children who've been impacted by domestic violence. And we do that through provision of second stage shelter, supportive housing, and then wraparound supports. And our vision is to really provide people with the opportunity to receive the supports and the healing that they need to be able to transition to the most successful independence that their potential allows.
Okay. So I noted that in the email that you guys have worked with the Electronic Recycling Association in the past. I was kind of wondering, how did that partnership between you and them kind of come together?
They've been involved with us on a number of levels. They've certainly been a contributor in terms of financial donations in the past. And then this year we had an interesting development. They had some refurbished cell phones that they were looking to repurpose. And I think, as we all know, in the last 20 plus months, being able to connect to the world virtually has become critical. So they reached out to us to let us know that they'd like to donate these cell phones, which are an amazing gift, because if a woman comes into shelter and does not have a cell phone, she's really completely cut off from being able to access so many things. You know, you can't do job search without a cell phone anymore. You can't connect with any kind of virtual services if you don't have a cell phone. You really just can't function, and it's a super important safety feature as well for a woman to be able to have, you know, a cell phone that she can carry with her at all times, so that she is able to make a call for help if the situation creates an unsafe situation for her, which is not uncommon when someone is leaving an abuser.
Actually, I'm wondering, like, you know, for like the families that don't have access to computers and all that, and like, for example, their kids couldn't do online classes, how have you kind of seen that aspect affect families? Like, how do they overcome that if they didn't have this technology?
Well, what we had to do last year was we actually set up our own in-house classroom, pardon me, so that we could support the kids to use computers in the center in order to be able to join their classroom Google Meets. So we set that up in-house and made it possible for them to connect and be online with their peers in their classrooms. Since then, of course, things have improved and the school boards have been able to catch up and provide support to kids who need technology. But in that first wave, in that first round of lockdown, that wasn't happening. So that's how we've done that. And then the other thing we did last year was we actually built our own in-house computer lab, so that the women in the building, and children for that matter, who were needing to have access for school or employment, could have a space in the building where they could access and have printer and have scanner and be able to fax and have all that great stuff. So that was brand new for us, and it's been certainly very, very well used.
Okay. So I'm kind of wondering now, it's like, say if this partnership didn't come together between you and the ERA, how do you think this whole, like, virtual workspace would have panned out? What would have happened?
Oh my goodness. I really think that it would have been exceptionally difficult. We don't have the resources to go out and buy cell phones for our clients who don't have those pieces of hardware. So it's critical. You know, it would make a hugely negative impact. You know, they would not have access in the way that they do when they have a cell phone. So this is going to make a big difference in the lives of, you know, 10 families. This last round of donations that we received is going to be the difference between someone being able to be connected and not being connected.
And finally, we have Sally Tran from the Electronic Recycling Association. Just to kind of start off, I was wondering if you could give me a brief mission statement for the Electronic Recycling Association.
Our mission is to reduce electronic waste and the negative impact it has on our environment, and to reuse unwanted computers and electronic related equipment through the recovery, refurbishment, and our computer donation programs.
So what are some of the methods that are used to kind of recycle old technology, like computers and laptops and whatnot?
So what we do with our process is we actually go through the items. If the items are refurbishable, we will refurbish them. Obviously, we clear all the data, destroy all the hard drives, any sensitive information that is on the computer still, we wipe that clear. And then if the items are refurbishable, we'll take those and donate it to charities across Canada. But if it's not, then we will take components that we can use. For instance, like if item A has something that we can put towards item B to build a brand new computer, that's what we'll do. And then anything left over, we actually send it to a EPRA approved recycler.
So I was wondering, you know, given the kind of electronic shortage that's been happening throughout COVID-19, how has the association been affected?
Well, we found that a lot of companies, instead of donating their items, which we normally have received in the past, they are either selling the items in order to recoup some of the cost, or they're just hanging on to it maybe a year or two more before they invest in new equipment. So so we're seeing a shortage in donations for that. And also we're unable to do a lot of community events that we normally do to collect items from communities around our area because of COVID-19. So it's not helping our cause either. So thankfully, we've been working with a lot of partners, like, for instance, the Better Business Bureau and the Chamber of Commerce, that have been doing collection drives, drive-by drives that aren't obviously following all the COVID regulations of everyone wearing masks and standing 6 feet apart and all that good stuff. So we do have all those health measures there, but it is limiting our abilities to hold events.
So what are some things that, you know, Canadians can do in order to reduce electronic waste and get technology into the hands of the people who are, you know, unable to afford it?
So one thing people can do is just to maybe if you do just because you think that it's not working, or, you know, it's just sitting in the closet collecting dust, doesn't mean that it can't be refurbished for somebody else. They just have to really don't throw anything in the garbage is number one. Make sure they find a responsible recycler to drop off the items. Again, with data security, it's something to look into to make sure that, you know, all items that are dropped off do get electronically wiped and your hard drives destroyed. So just because you factory reset your electronics, it doesn't mean that all your items are. cleared of all your data. So you just have to make sure you just look into, make sure the recycler have those programs that actually wipe everything off for you.
You have been listening to the Article One podcast. Article One is a human rights magazine published by Mount Royal University journalism students in Calgary. The Article One podcast series is produced as part of the Community Podcast Initiative and powered by Shaw. We also want to thank the artist Broke for Free for their track Day Bird off the Directionless EP. My name is Spencer Yu. Thank you for listening.